book of 2 Kings chapter 4 this morning. It's a story that you're probably familiar with. You've read it a time or two. You've heard somebody preach from it a time or two. But there's some things that we can learn from this widow's story. We could probably take a long time and go down through it and learn a number of things. But I just want to look at it briefly this morning and point out a specific lesson before we go home this morning. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house except a pot of oil. She's pretty poor, wasn't she? Nothing in the house except a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels. Don't limit yourself. Borrow not a few. Borrow, borrow, borrow. Find empty vessels. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go and sell the oil, pay your debt, and then live on the rest. You and your sons live on the rest. Isn't that an incredible story? You know, you've heard me say about putting myself into the shoes of these characters in Scripture. Sometimes it's difficult to do. Especially this one. You know, how in the world? One of the things that we can associate with our own lives this morning in this story is that there are seasons of afflictions that come upon all of us. There's rainy days that happen to all of us. The songwriters that we sang their songs this morning, a couple of them at least, spoke about the heartbreaks and the griefs that we have to carry. Somebody said that it's on a cloudy day that the rainbow of His promise is most easily seen. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 said, Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Afterward, there's this grieving point or this problem area right now, but then afterwards. I think there's been quite a few rainbows seen in the skies in Martin County in just recent weeks. Even though we haven't had a whole lot of rain, there's been just enough rain at times to produce in the midst of a setting sun a rainbow. This widow, as the story tells us, is one of the sons of the prophets. Her husband had died and left her and the boys with little to go on. They were in some pretty deep water, as it were. What can we learn from her situation or from this particular story? First thing that we can notice is that she was destitute, but her destitute condition was confessed. It was confessed. You know, it's humbling to do that, isn't it? It's humbling. What was it? How low did she have to get for her to go to Elisha and say this personal condition, this tremendous loss, and the fear that she probably had was experiencing as well? She had to confess it. If we bring that over into our spiritual lives, we're going to be confessing our desperate need as well. We may not like to, it may not be easy to, but it is a very humbling circumstance, but we find that this was the beginning of the answer that came. If she had not confessed her need, and that's exactly the way it is in our lives, we're going to have to confess our need. It was quickly revealed in this short passage of Scripture that after she confessed her need, that grace was offered. Elisha, who was really a representative of God, he came back very quickly. What shall I do for you? What do you want me to do for you? What do you have that I can work with? What do you have that God can work with? You see, that's the beginning of the point that I want to look at here before we go home. And we have to answer that question. What is it that you have that God can work with? Say, I don't have much. Yeah, Moses said he didn't have much. David didn't have much. He was just a little lad. On and on we can go with those individuals that didn't have much. The widow didn't have much either, did she? I don't have anything in my house. The only thing that I have is a cruse of oil. It's all I have. How was it that she had a cruse of oil and nothing else? We don't know that answer. It's not really relevant, apparently, to the story. Otherwise, he would have told us how relevant it was. But she just plain didn't have much. Elisha, how are you going to work with this? Elisha, what are you going to do for me? I'm in desperate need. And so he said, what do you want me to do? What shall I do for you? What is it that you have in your house? If we go over to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, Jesus has something to say about those people that don't think they have need of anything. They have everything that they need. Is the wheel turning now in the direction that I want to lead you this morning? Here's a widow that doesn't have much at all. Jesus over here in Revelation chapter 3 is saying to us that it's those people that think they don't need anything that are really the ones that are in need, but they have to get to the point where they recognize their need and confess that need. You know the story, don't you? There was some preparation that was needed. Now, the scripture, the lesson doesn't give us a whole lot of time, how much time it took to go to get all these vessels. It would indicate here that it was a snap of a finger and it was done, but I don't think that's really what happened. I don't think that we should be allowing our mind to think that that's the way that it was. There was some preparation. have them go out and find them, and they're going to have to walk around and knock at doors and carry them back and then go back out again. They're going to have to find some empty vessels. They're going to have to look for some empty vessels. And boys, don't be limited. Go and find all that you can. Every vessel, doesn't matter how big, it doesn't matter how small, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Just as long as it's a vessel. Are you hearing me this morning? As long as it's a vessel. As long as you have something that you can bring back that is a considered to be a vessel. Now, I don't know if she was catching on to what was going to happen or not. Maybe she told them make sure that they were, you know, they didn't have leaks in them. I don't know if she told them all that or not, but she was just saying go get vessels and don't limit yourself to a certain amount. Find every vessel. Over in the previous chapter here in 2 Kings, there's a story about some ditches being dug. They were in need of water. They really needed water. Probably more dry than what Martin County is, but they really needed some water. Verse number 16, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. What a hard task. What a bit of preparation that had to go into what God was saying. This was not an easy thing. In verse number 20, it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. I wonder what would have happened if they'd have dug one more ditch. If they would have worked one more hour. If somebody would have put a lantern up on a stick somewhere and said, let's dig just a little bit longer into the night. It had to be hard going. It had to be some hard ground, some rocky soil perhaps, some hard labor that was going into those ditches. And now that the place was full of water, I wondered if they said, boy, if we'd have just dug one more ditch, if we'd have just worked one more hour. But faith was rewarded, wasn't it? Now, that's what we commonly think of, that faith was rewarded. But if you look at this, I can't help but think that there might have been something else that was rewarded greater than faith. Now, don't shoot me out here and call me a heretic. Faith is very important. I believe that she had to believe that Elisha was speaking for God. But it had to be more than faith. It had to be obedience. Obedient faith. And when she shut the door upon her and her sons, shut the door upon her and her sons. Well, that sounds like there's something in that. Sounds like there's something in that. Shut the door on her and her sons. Just a cruse of oil, bunch of empty vessels, and a command from Elisha, the prophet of God, to take that cruse and begin to fill up those vessels. And they shut the door. We have to shut the door on a lot of noise around us. We could spend a lot of time there looking at that particular thought of shutting the door, even as we find it in the New Testament that we need to shut the door when we go into the secret place of prayer, into the closet, We have to shut the door. There's something significant about shutting the door. There's something significant about closing out all of the distractions that are around us. And you can't convince me that you don't have some kind of distraction from time to time, if not regularly. Obedient faith, trust. And you know what happened? That every single vessel was filled. Every single empty vessel that was brought into that little house was carried out full at some point. They were full. The mother asked for one more vessel, and the sons responded, "That's it. There isn't any more. We've used all of them up." Are you sure? Are you sure? Now, for the sake of the story, I know that the oil had to stop somewhere. I know that they couldn't have had an endless supply of empty vessels unless they would have gone much, much further out into the wilderness, into another part of the country, into other communities and towns. There had to be an end somewhere. So for the sake of the story, I understand that. But for the sake of the lesson, I want us to consider one little thing. That the blessing stopped only when the last vessel was filled. Somebody said that as long as there was an empty vessel and obedient faith to use the gift of God, there was no lack. Remember what I said in reference to Revelation chapter 3, the church that thought that they had everything, that they were in need of nothing. You see, they were filled up. They were there. There was no longer a vacancy. There was no longer need for anything else. But here in this story, we realize that the promise or the blessing only came to a stop, only came to an end when the last vessel was filled. And again, it had to be that way, but I'm talking about us. And I want us to be really realizing that we have an option to continue to allow Him to be poured into our lives. You know, Paul the Apostle gives us something along this line that may give some credence to the thought. And that is the time where Paul was struggling with an issue. He had a problem. He said that Satan was buffeting him, that there was a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed three times. It wasn't just a one-time thing that Paul was asking God to take care of. He was praying and seeking God. He wanted God to take this thorn in the flesh away. He wanted it to be removed. He didn't want to be hindered by that. But then the response came to him from Christ, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Can I paraphrase that in light of 2 Kings 4? As long as you recognize your weakness, as long as you recognize yourself to be a vessel through which I can pour out my strength, then my strength will always be what you need. And that's what Paul said. That's what he came down to say. That's what he came down to recognize. He said, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." But he was strong only through the infilling of the power of God's presence. Only through the infilling of God's power. Oh, yes, we go back here to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we see that deliverance was accomplished. She was able to go and sell all the bunch of that oil and pay off that entire debt. What a wonderful, wonderful end of that story for her. But not only was she paying off the debt, there was enough left over, proceeds left over to live on for a while. We don't know how long, but it would indicate that live thou and thy children of the rest. In other words, it would almost indicate that there was quite a bit there that they could live for quite a while. But the lesson this morning that I want you to take home is the vessels or the oil only stopped when the vessels were filled. But if we continually recognize that our inadequacy is ever, ever present, that we must recognize and confess our need of Him for Him to continually fill us. I don't have anything, Elisha. We're destitute. We don't have anything in the house. You may not have anything in the house, but all He's looking for is a vessel through which to fill and to work His purpose through your vessel of your life. What do you have to offer Him? You have a vessel. Let Him continue to fill the vessel with His strength and with His power. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. Praise God. I want to be a vessel through which He can work and pour out of Himself. I want Him, His strength, His power. Praise God. Praise God. Colin, would you dismiss us in prayer?